Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Cancer is preventable in every way. It's not about getting mammograms. It's what you put in here and baby what you say.
Wonderful, and welcome to The Brush Show. This is Brenda Pierce, half of the co-host team of Pat Kennedy and Brenda Pierce, and we're both RNs, and we have a great focus in integrative health and wellness. And we are so thrilled to be also the co-hosts and luminaries behind The Brush Show in town, which is a growing experience. Started in London, Ontario 10 years ago and moving to Toronto, Ontario, for October 1st and 2nd, 2016. And we have one of the foremost experts in thermography with us today, and that's Dr. Alexander Mostovoy. And he is a writer, researcher, and public speaker, and is recognized as a leading authority on the application of clinical thermography. Since 1999, he has pioneered the use of breast thermography in his clinic in Toronto, with special interest in breast with health professionals and around the world to integrate clinical thermography into their practices. Dr. Mostovoy has lectured widely in Europe, North and South America on the many aspects of clinical thermography. He is actively involved in educating physicians on the benefits of it as a breast screening tool. Welcome, Dr. Alex Mostovoy.
Thank you. And I love the song. Where can I get a copy of this?
Well, you'll have
I'm
to talk
serious.
To Pat,
is
but isn't that cool? Oh, my
it's
gosh.
It's incredible.
You know, it is. And that was actually just created at a spur of the moment last year, just before the 10th anniversary of the Brush Show in town. And it is really a wonderful, wonderful show, song. And, yeah, we'll make sure you get a copy of it.
Please. I'm going to play it every single morning when I go to my office.
That would
actually,
be wonderful.
I'll play it in my office. That's even better.
At the beginning of every screening, play it.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, we are so thrilled to have you, and I know you've worked very closely with Pat Kennedy over the years and helping her to develop her growing practice. She's right now out in BC doing some screening for the first time.
Excellent. Yes. I think it's coming on to 10 years that, or maybe even longer that I met with Pat. And she was the first one who kind of took the relay. You know, I see this as a relay run. And, you know, after a while, after running around the track for so long, she was the next one to take on the baton and then other people came up and more and now as I was just mentioning to you, I was at a conference, medical conference in Chicago, and most of the integrative physicians have either heard or are doing or are thinking of doing. So thermography is definitely taking on.
Oh wow. Wonderful. Well, and this is the thing, is the gold standard in the medical community is the mammogram. Mm-hmm. But in the integrative world, it's thermography and the thermogram. And I wondered if you could maybe talk on the two and you know, just let people know what the difference is.
Sure. Let me tell you basically how I got started in this thermography thing. I am a classically trained homeopathic physician, and I've been very happy practicing homeopathy with my patients for many years. I had a huge practice here in Toronto. And then one day, my best friend, Dr. Alvin Peddle, who's an OBGYN with now 44 or 45 years of experience behind his belt, one morning he storms into my office and he says, listen, you got to look into this. I said, well, what? He shows me a piece of paper with some pictures on it and he says, we're being invaded by the Americans. I'm getting these reports from women. I need to understand what is this all about. Take a look at this. And once I started, I have to tell you, I came into thermography as a huge skeptic because, and I told my friend Dr. Petal, I'd like to do it the old-fashioned way. I kind of sit there and listen to patients. And if you listen long enough to their story, usually you get enough information from their symptoms, from the way they present, the way they talk, that you get the idea of what's behind those symptoms, right? You get the idea on how to treat them. So I said, this is not for me. This is just a little too technical. But once I delved into it, I realized that there is a whole unexplored world of imaging that doesn't have to hurt the patient. First of all, thermography is basically measuring heat that naturally comes to the surface of our skin. We're using infrared cameras that are able to detect that. And the camera basically, it's not a giver like an X-ray machine, it's a taker. So it just simply scans, kind of like if you are looking at heat-seeking technologies when they're looking at missiles coming in on the radar screen. It's not like they're pushing something out. They're just basically getting the signal in. So what really attracted me to this is that it's completely non-invasive. We don't have to squish anyone. We don't have to touch anyone. And we don't have to radiate anyone, which is definitely a bonus. So In comparison, because everyone wants to compare, and I always kind of fight against that, it's not a fair comparison to compare apples and oranges. It's not a fair comparison to compare men and women. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. We already know that. So mammography is different. What I mean by different is that it is an X-ray, and mammography will give us information about structure or what we call anatomy. So if there is going to be a structural change, mammography will pick this up. Now, thermography, on the other hand, is going to give us information about how this tissue functions, about physiology. So in comparison, if I may, I'll say that mammography is going to tell us what already happened, and thermography is going to tell us what it's about to happen. Because we're looking at blood vessels. These blood vessels are going to create heat that, you know, without blood vessels, nothing is going to grow. In other words, the tumor needs vascularity, or it needs the blood vessels to bring in blood supply, because these tumors are growing very fast. Metabolically, they're very active, and they need more blood supply. So this is where thermography comes in. Okay, so I don't want to mislead anyone and say that thermography sees something that mammography doesn't. No, mammography sees something that thermography doesn't. But these two tests are not mutually exclusive. And I get this all the time. Women will say, I just had a mammogram. I'm going to wait a year, and maybe next year I'll come for thermography. Or vice versa. One does not exclude the other. However, having said that, the only problem I have with mammography is that it has a very high rate of false positives. There's been a study published a couple of years ago in the British Journal of Medicine saying that we have overdiagnosed 1.3 million women with mammography. In other words, a quarter of all diagnosed is really accurate. So we're creating a lot of so-called cancer patients or cancer survivors, but in fact, these women don't really have cancer. So that's the problem. Do we have to kind of do away with this? No. I think it's useful. I wish we certainly had better technology that wouldn't X-ray people and subject them to radiation. So I am a big proponent of using mammography when it's necessary for diagnostic reasons, but not necessarily for screening. Okay, there's a huge difference between these two. Okay?
Right. It's just like going for a second opinion, right?
Yes and no.
Okay.
It is in the sense that you are getting another opinion,
mm-hmm.
but it also gives you a different perspective. So let's say most women are advised to have their annual or semi-annual mammograms after the age of 50, right? Before 50 or before even 40, it's not even advisable because most women will have breast dense breast. And mammography is not really, it can't really see through that tissue. So it's not useful for that at all. However, keep one thing in mind that the major cause of mortality for women under the age of 35 is breast cancer. And that group is not being screened at all. So having said that, a mammogram will provide you with some information. However, let's say you go and do your annual mammogram, and last time someone said, you're clear, go home. We'll see you next year. The problem with that approach is that we're waiting for people to get sick, and then we're going to catch it, and then we're going to try and treat that. And I think that it's wasteful, and I think that it's not really in the best interest of the patient, of course, and our society in general, because we're spending way too much money on healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
It takes close to 10 years, close to a decade, for a mammogram to detect a tumor large enough to be seen with that technology. So when someone says go home, does that mean that in year four or year five of that tumor growth that there was nothing there? No, of course. Listen, breast cancer is not an overnight sensation. You don't just wake up in the morning and you have one. You had it. You had it for almost a decade. So what I'm suggesting is, when we use thermography, and by no means it's not 100% accurate, nothing in this world is, when we use thermography, we can definitely identify a group of women who are high risk. And then we can be way more vigilant with that group instead of X-raying everyone left, right, and center and scaring everyone with positive mammograms, which, again, 1 in 10 will prove to be malignant with a biopsy, right? I just had a conversation with one of my patients who went through this experience years ago, and she's saying, do you realize what I went through waiting for the results of the biopsy? And luckily, of course, it came back negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I strongly believe that the amount of stress that women are subjected to and the amount of stress that some personalities can subject themselves on top of that is definitely pushing some people over that edge and causing a lot of problems and a lot of disease, including cancer.
So we can be much more proactive. We don't have to have this ticking time bomb kind of thing happening. We can save more lives and we can diagnose them, get them looked at much easier and sooner than what we are experiencing currently. That in itself is a
Correct.
Real aha moment.
Yeah, well, my main kind of emphasis with thermography is the fact that it's one of those things that can identify who is at high risk, who is at medium risk, who is at low risk. And by no means to say that someone who's at low risk can never develop breast cancer. Of course they can, but statistically it's very, very low chance. Now, when we're looking at medium to high group, let's sit down and figure, it's not a one-way street. You know, one thing that really, really bugs me is that people think that, well, as I get older, I'm going to get sicker. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be this way. I think that the paradigm has shifted a long time ago where you see a lot of women and men in their 60s and 70s and 80s enjoying good health and being productive, but it's a process. Some of them, of course, are naturally maybe kind of genetically predisposed to be healthier, but most of them have led a healthy lifestyle. Most of them are looking after themselves. Most of them are exercising, keeping their weight down, and so on and so forth. So where thermography comes in this case is that it becomes an impetus for change. So when I explain to someone their report findings, and let's say they're high risk, I say, well, it doesn't mean that you have to get breast cancer. It means that you're at high risk. Why don't we look at factors that in your case elevate your risk? Now, it could be your hormones, it could be your diet, it could be your psycho-emotional health, it could be the lack of sleep, it could be thyroid, it could be so many different things. So once we have that information, you can sit down with your healthcare provider and figure out a plan on how to come down from high risk to medium risk to low risk. This
right.
is what really, what I find is preventative. This is the way medicine should be practiced.
Well, I like the idea, too. It's not an either-or, one-size-fits-all. You believe in the integrative health approach, and, you know, if a person's engaging them in good discussion on both sides of the fence, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that what would you say to somebody who has, you know, family members who have had breast cancer, and that in itself permeates a whole fear factor, and you have these people that are going out there now and saying, well, if my sister's had it, my aunt's had it, my mother's had it, I might as well just go and have a double mastectomy and get off my chest.
Yeah, that's a good one. I find this very, very disempowering. Now, of course, I will respect anyone's opinion. They can do whatever it is that they want with their health, with their body, with their breasts. As long as, you know, this is their opinion, what are you going to do? What I really dislike is when the industry and the media, and I hate to say this, some in the medical community as well, disempower women by saying, look, we don't really know what's causing breast cancer, so your best bet would be to do as you're told. We are the experts. We know what we're talking about. Do your annual mammograms. Your best bet would be to find it early, early detection. Somehow they've managed to equate that early detection with prevention, which is, of course, has nothing to do with that. So as soon as we detect it, your chances and your probability of survival is going to be much greater. I find this whole premise and this whole paradigm completely unacceptable to me personally. I think that it's a disempowering thing because women are just sitting there waiting for the guillotine to drop on their neck. And then hopefully maybe we'll catch it early. And I can tell you from my experience, a lot of women are living in fear. And what, you know what happens when you live in fear, you're basically asking for it.
Yep.
So what I'm suggesting is that why don't we look at a different way? Even if you have BRCA1 or BRCA2 genes, those genes are not necessarily going to be expressed. The same risk factors that are pushing other women into breast cancer, the same risk factors are pushing those gene expressions. So number one, you have to look at this and say, am I willing to kind of like sheep go to the slaughterhouse at some point in time, or am I going to sit back, relax, and say, hold on a second, I am in charge of my health. The medical community is great. I'll use them when I need them, but before I get them, and hopefully I'll never get there, I'm going to look at my risk factors, I'm going to lower my risk factors. And statistically, we know that cancer is not really a genetic disease. That's the biggest fallacy. Maybe I would even go as far as 10% of cancer is genetic. 90% is environmental. And even, as I said, with women who have genetic predisposition, it's the environment that pushes them over that edge.
That in itself is really refreshing to hear, because as a nurse and working in the medical field as long as I have, you know, it's a true fear factor. And I've seen so many women, you know, just live in that, like that black cloud is right all over them. And to hear that, you know, that we really have more more control over the situation than we've been told. This is really amazing information. Thank you.
You're welcome. We don't realize how powerful we are. We don't realize how much control we have. And then we don't even realize that our health, as well as our illness, really is driven in to a great extent from within. So hear what I'm saying. It's driven from within. It's not the outside source. So just like we are in control of our day-to-day lives, you know, you get to choose what you do for a living. You get to choose how you live your life. Health is not something that just happens to us, and as well as illness, right? As I said, it's a process. So if you want to stay healthy, yeah, you got to do something. Maybe you have to change something. Maybe you have to educate yourself. Maybe you have to become proactive. Maybe you have to watch what you're thinking. Maybe you have to watch what kind of relationships you're getting yourself into. Maybe you have to deal with stress. Maybe you have to eat better. Maybe you have to figure out a way to fix things before they get broken.
Right, right. We don't have to be broken first and then get fixed. We have to be proactive, like you say, and be fixed before we get broken. So I like that analogy very, very much. I think it's a very empowering conversation that a lot of people need to hear this and really realize that, you know, it's truly up to us what we want our life to be like, body, mind, and image.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, as I said, when it comes to cancer, you know, we've done so many incredible things. We've lowered the incidence of heart disease. We've lowered the incidence of diabetes by educating people, by telling them don't smoke and don't eat this and don't eat that. And since we started doing that, the incidence of heart disease has plummeted. And we can do the same thing with breast cancer. It's not that mysterious. Every time, you know, someone says the word cancer, their blood pressure goes up. Yes, it is a complicated, multifactorial disease that needs to be addressed on many different factors and with different variables. But it doesn't mean that we can just give it up to professionals, you know, and just follow their orders blindly. I'm totally against this. And I don't think that women today in this day and age are far more educated than they were 50 or 100 years ago. They're in the work field. They are open to information. They are the ones that are going to change medicine. I strongly believe it. Definitely it's not going to be men. Men are way too passive when it comes to this. It's women who are going to be taking care of themselves and their families. They need education.
Absolutely. And the role of breast self-examination is universally something that is a great thing that women can do anytime, anywhere, and following up when you find a lump or a thickening area, don't fall into the fear factor of, oh, my God, it's breast cancer, because it can be many other things as well, right?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought this up because 70% of all findings are found by women's hands. So I encourage each and every one of you who is listening right now, if you're not doing it, please start doing breast examinations. You can go online. You can search online how to do this. It's very, very simple. It doesn't take a long time. Do it once a month. Get to know your breasts. Get to know, once you realize what's normal for you, then you will know what's abnormal for you as well.
Right.
And most women are not doing breast exams for one simple reason. If you start pushing them, they'll eventually tell you. They're scared.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I agree with that or not, it doesn't really matter. How do we deal with that? Because they're scared, they're not doing it. So they're scared to find a lump. A lump means maybe it's going to be, so I may as well not touch it, not do anything, and maybe it's going to go away. No, it's not going to happen this way. And to get over that fear factor, I always suggest to women that I talk to, get to know your breast through a loving massage of your breast. Massage your breast. Don't look for lumps and bumps or this or that. Don't think about cancer. It's not an examination. It's a loving massage that you can do, as you said. It doesn't even have to be once a month. You can do it every other day if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it good for your lymphatic flow, but as I said, this way, don't think about disease. Think about loving your body and enjoying your breast and enjoy, you know, allowing the lymph flow to come in and to go out. This way, it's the breast exam without fear.
Right. Oh, I love that. I think that's very important because as soon as we think that something is going to have a negative effect, we treat it like an alien instead of a part of our body, and yet it is part of our body. So we should really get
Absolutely.
To know every square inch of ourselves and really appreciate us for the beautiful beings that we are. Dr. Alex, I just want to ask you if you could tell us a little bit about your upcoming book.
Well, the book basically deals with the subject that we're discussing today. It deals with the hormonal imbalance or balance. It deals with nutritional, digestive. There's a connection between dental or oral health and breast cancer. It deals with vital connection, the etiology of cancer. It deals with psycho-emotional things. So I've tried to cover as many basis as possible. I realize that, you know, I could continue writing this book, version number 2, 3, 4, and 5, but at some point in time, I decided, even though it's not perfect, I think that it's going to bring a lot of this information out to women that actually it's for all women. It's for women of all ages. It's for women who have breast cancer. So for women who have breast cancer in their family or who just want to avoid getting, that's the main message that I want to bring to your audience today, is that breast cancer, for the most part, is a preventable disease.
Amen to that. My goodness, that's wonderful. So the title of the book is?
Breast cancer is a preventable disease.
Very simply put and very wonderful. And how can people get a hold of it, and when is it available?
You know what? I was just about to publish it, and then something that came in, and I pulled back. So I'm just waiting. I'm talking to an agent. I'm waiting. Hopefully, you know, this is going to get bigger because more doors are going to be opened. And if not, I'll go back to the plan of the plan that I started with. So it's not available yet, but I'm hoping that it will be very, very soon.
It should be available by April when we have the Breast Show in London, April 17th, 2016,
God willing.
I hope.
God
there we
willing.
Go. Very good. Well,
as
Dr.
far as
Alex,
I'm concerned, I'm done. but other people may think otherwise.
Oh, you're just getting started, let me tell you. We're so thrilled to have you as a part of the Breast Show in town in London, Ontario, and as a driving force with Pat and I on the Toronto event, and we're going to touch more lives with this wonderful information and empower women. Men as well are also experiencing breast cancer, and even children are experiencing breast cancer, believe it or not. So it's a growing epidemic, but it doesn't have to be the death sentence that everybody fears, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, maybe if we have a little bit of time, I have, just going back to self-breast exams, I had a patient whose mom has passed away from breast cancer, and she was just terrified. So her husband every morning gives her a breast massage. Now,
wow.
You go find a guy like that.
Yes. That is true partnership, isn't it? Oh, goodness.
Exactly. Now,
very
since
good.
Most women are not going to get their spouses to do this, you have to rely on yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have to tell you, this half hour has flown right by, and it's been jam-packed full of great conversation and information. Thank you so very much for being with us on Breast Show Radio.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Take care. And remember, happy breasts mean a happy life. So let's make sure that we take care of those girls. Bye for now.
Bye.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.